All right. Hello, friends. it's nice to see you. You know, it's funny because I told Jacqueline Eckert the other day that I never notice who's in the room. But Jacqueline, I actually noticed you. I see you. So hello, everyone. Welcome to the Guiding Light. Last week we read through John chapter 1, verse 16. Verse 16 is so beautiful. Let me just read it to you one more time. Verse 16 says, "From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another." And I don't know if you recall kind of the gist of last week's teaching, but basically, of course, what we've been looking at over and over and over again is that divine law where you take this very potent life awareness intelligence that I call God, and you infuse an idea with that potency, you get some type of a manifestation, right? And we've talked about the fact that the manifestation could be more thoughts along that same line of thinking. This is how your head gets all full of thoughts. Right? It could be emotions, right, or even a mood. Or it could be, some type of a situation or some type of a thing in the world, a physical manifestation. But what was really beautiful about last week's teaching was we looked at the fact that this divine law, which I'll call it isness plus idea equals something. Let me type it in. This divine law is a non-judgmental divine law, which certainly means that if the idea is a wrong-minded idea, then the manifestation is going to be a wrong-minded manifestation. A Course in Miracles calls this miscreation, right? But if the idea is a right-minded idea, if the idea is an idea that kind of reflects truth, is similar to truth, or points to truth, you know, you can't have an idea that is actually truth, because truth is beyond ideas. But you can have ideas that are the extension of truth, or the reflection of truth, right, or that point toward truth. And if the idea that is being infused with our divine attention, remember, your attention is divine. Yes, just little O you. You know, we don't think of ourselves typically as divine, and we don't want to think of ourselves as divine in an egotistical way. But there is a humble way to think of ourselves as divine, right? A very humble way. Our attention is divine. So when you infuse your divine attention, when you take that in and you infuse a right-minded idea, you know, you're like when you're in contemplation, for example, you infuse a right-minded idea with your divine attention, something is still manifested. And this something we call grace. But this is how things like A Course in Miracles came about, NTI came about, Inner Ramana came about. This is how great teachers like Jesus and Ramana Maharshi and Nisargadatta come about. This is how every one of us received whatever that first message was, that first inner inkling, or that first book we saw, or that first whatever that got us started on the spiritual path. That I'll call it a calling. This is how our callings came about, is through grace. You know, we talk about grace as if it's mysterious, and to some degree, of course, it's helpful to hold on to that mystery idea, so I don't want to take that completely away, because there's nothing more beautiful than a mystery, and there's nothing more beautiful than realizing we don't know. But it's also helpful to know that if we place our attention with right-minded ideas, this divine law, isness plus idea equals something, is, for lack of better words, manufacturing grace. And this is how we get more and more right-minded energy into the world, more and more people having the idea to seek awakening, to seek a better way, right? More and more clarity coming through teachers, more and more kindness to one another because we see each other as the same. You know, just more and more of this comes about through the same divine law that creates the miscreations. And so last week when we were talking, we focused more on the grace aspect. And we're going to find as we go through the book of John that Jesus is very aware of the grace aspect of the divine law. And so he is very committed to keeping his mind focused on right-minded thoughts, devotional types of thoughts, or being completely empty. When we're being completely empty, being the isness, the divine law works with that as well to manufacture grace. So Jesus is very aware of how this divine law works. He often calls this divine law the Father. He says that the Father works all of the time. In fact, when he's accused by the Pharisees for doing things on Saturday, because Saturday was the Sabbath, still is for Jewish people. when he is accused of doing things like healing people or teaching on the Sabbath, you know, what he says to them is he says, my Father works all of the time, you know, and so I must work all of the time too, which really means he understands this divine law perfectly and he is constantly keeping his mind focused on right-mindedness, on devotion, on the heart, on service, on surrender, all of these things that help to manufacture grace. He knows this is how we are the light of the world. This is how we are the light of the world. All right, so that's just kind of a little bit of a summary from last week. And by the way, let me just quickly apologize to you all. Apparently, a hacker got a hold of my email and sent something out. But it, you know, it won't be signed Love Regina. It'll be some link. It looks like the subject line varies by person. Different people get different subject lines. But if you get that email with either an attachment or a link and it's not signed Love Regina or Great Love Regina or In Love Regina or any of those things that I do, please just delete it because it's no good. I've changed my password. But I guess a lot of emails went out this morning. All right. So why don't we start now with some stillness. And, of course, with stillness, I like to play a music. So what's kind of jumping out at me right now, I have my Christmas list open because it's December. And what's jumping out at me right now is What Child Is This? And it's by a group of, I believe, young men, if I remember the song correctly from last year. Their name is Straight No Chaser. Straight No Chaser. What child is this?
Shepherds, God, and angels.
Yeah, that is beautiful, isn't it? Straight No Chaser was the name of the group. And, of course, the song was What Child Is This? Beautiful, beautiful. I was dancing in my chair the entire time. Oh, and look, Jacqueline already went and got a YouTube link there for people. All right, so we are here to continue looking at John. And you know what? I'm having so much fun with the Bible. When I first started the Guiding Light, I didn't know what the Guiding Light was going to be, other than I knew I was going to start with John. But I'm having so much fun with the Bible. And you know, there's so much in the Bible. And many, many people have asked me before, Regina, would you do the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the Old Testament? And I always say, well, I can't do that, because I haven't received that guidance, you know, so I can't do that. But, you know, I really do feel motivated after John, maybe to go back and go to the Old Testament and just start with Genesis and just, you know, keep looking at the Bible. So I think I've decided that this time period, the Guiding Light, is going to be dedicated to the Bible, looking at the Bible. So, all right. And today we're in John chapter 1. It's taken us, we're on our fourth week, and we're just now starting verse 17. So at this rate, I'll be here for years. All right, so let's look at verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So when this says the law was given through Moses, for those of you who don't know the Bible, this is not referring to divine law. The divine law that I've been talking about, which today I'm calling isness plus idea equals something. This is not referring to that. What Moses was given was a lot of laws, the most famous of which are the Ten Commandments. But what Moses was given was a lot of laws that the people of Israel were to follow. This was, in effect, so that they could become one. You know, they had been slaves for 400 years underneath Egypt. They were underneath Egypt's, you know, punitive law. And once they were freed, you know, it just got chaotic. Remember, we're talking about a lot of people who had not yet found their inner guidance. So they were not listening to inner intuition. They were listening to ego. And it was just chaotic. And so law was given to Moses. Moses was the scribe of a law, which you could say would put the people of Israel on the same page. You could say that Awakening Together, for example, has law, although that's a strong word. But, you know, we were given a law. We have our purpose, our shared purpose, and our five core values. And this puts us all on the same page to start with, right? And so that's what the law that Moses did had, that Moses received. This is what the law that Moses received did for the Israelites. So verse 17 says, for the law was given through Moses, and then grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So what this is pointing to, obviously, And I don't know who Mohit is, but please let him know that this particular hour I'm on a roll of teaching, and I don't want to stop to have other conversations. So I won't be turning the mic over to you, Mohit. If there's somebody that I know and that you have a question or something you want to share regarding this teaching, I will turn the mic over to you. But not just to, you know, to go into scatter chat. Not interested in scatter chat. All right, so back to 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So remember during the opening today, I said that Jesus understood divine law, which is, of course, beyond Moses' law, right? Jesus understood divine law. Jesus understood that his attention was divine. Now, his attention being divine is not anything special, because that is true of all of us. Our attention is divine. It's just that most of the people on the planet do not know that. They never even consider that option. Jesus knew this to be true of him and of everyone. But of course, he's focused on him. Remember, A Course in Miracles says the miracle worker's only responsibility is to accept the atonement for himself. This was as true for Jesus then as it is for us today. So Jesus, being aware that his attention is divine, is focused on his mind, right? He's focused on keeping his mind pure in thinking. He's focused on being the empty shell himself and letting grace pour through him, right? He says that his Father spoke through him. That is grace pouring through him. So he was both the receiver of grace, and when he spoke, he gave that grace, but he was also one who you could call the manufacturer of grace, because he kept his mind focused on right-minded thoughts. Now, it is absolutely true that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. But what's most important to know is that grace and truth comes through us as well, if we practice as consistently as Jesus practiced on keeping our mind focused on right-minded thoughts or complete emptiness. We could call that focused on awareness, right? If we, you know, I'm going to ask you guys to just listen beyond the words, because I don't want to stop and apologize for using certain words. I want to allow the flow to just happen. So listen beyond the words. How's that? Listen with your heart. If we focus on being very holy, right? If we focus on being very holy, if we are very devoted to being very holy, we are the same instrument of truth and grace that Jesus was and is. This is what's important for us to get out of the book of John. If we focus on being very holy, we are the same instrument of grace and truth that Jesus was and is. This is what we need to hear, and this is what we need to take away. So the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now verse 18 says, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. When I read this particular verse, the way it gets interpreted in my mind, no one has ever seen God. We know this to be true. You can't physically see God, right? You can't. It's a prior to manifestation isness. We can know God. We can know isness. We can know life. In fact, we do. We can know awareness. We can know that intelligence through our intuition, but we cannot see it. No one can see it. In fact, we can't even actually talk about it. We can do our best to point at it with words, but we can't even actually talk about it. So this is just a true statement. No one has ever seen God. But God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Now, what's really interesting about this particular verse is if you look at it very carefully, it's talking about God and it's talking about the Father. Now, you all may remember that last week I talked about the four principles of God. The first principle of God is life, source, and right now we'll call it Father. And you'll find some of these words are going to shift around, so don't get confused by that either. Some of these words are going to shift around. The first principle of God, life, source, Father. The second principle of God, awareness, Son, the only direct creation of the first principle. The only thing that has nothing before it except the source, right? And then the third principle of God, consciousness, which is the container that allows manifestation. And then the fourth principle of God is manifestation. All right, but it's all God. We talked about that last week. So when this says God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. The way that I see this is that the Father is the source, in this case, the first principle. And the Father, there's no way that the Father can be seen. There's no way the Father can be known with the mind. The Father is the capital M mystery, the mystery of mysteries. It's even referred to in the Tao as darkness. Not darkness evil, like people in the West often think of darkness as evil. Not that kind of darkness. But darkness is so far from being able to be known by the mind. It's just completely blacked out to the mind. So, the Father, the first principle of God, hasn't been seen by anyone. But God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. The God, the one and only in this case, is the second principle of God, the awareness, or the Son of God. And through isness, or life, and awareness, consciousness came into being through the joint creative power of isness and awareness. Consciousness came into being along with divine law. And then through that, manifestation. Now, if we focus on emptiness, or if we focus on right-minded thoughts, right, the reflection of source, the reflection of truth is known here. So we get to know the source. We get to know the Father. We get to know the potency of life through the reflection. And it's the second and third principle of God, along with, of course, the fourth principle of God, that allowed us this opportunity to know the Father. Said another way, without manifestation, we could never in any way know the source. Because remember, and hold on, Jacqueline, I'll get to your question in a moment. Because remember, the first principle of God, life, is potent life, but there's nothing else there but potent life. This is why it's called darkness. The second principle of God is awareness, but it's awareness without anything to be aware of, just like in deep sleep. So there's no knowing happening there either, right? But the third principle of God, along with consciousness and along with divine law, we now have a mechanism in order to create objects for awareness to be aware of. And through right-minded ideas fed into this divine manifestation, the manifestations then are right-minded manifestations. They are reflections of the Father. They are reflections of potent life. And now awareness can know the Father through the reflections of the Father. And some of you may have heard of the practice before of, for example, just focusing on a flower. You know, be as empty as possible. Do not think. Just focus on one flower for many, many hours. Once upon a time, I asked the Holy Spirit, what are God's creations? Because, you know, in A Course in Miracles, it talks about God's creations, but it never tells us what they are. Or what are our creations? Our creations. And never tells us what they are. And so when I asked that question, what the Holy Spirit said to me was to go outside and to lay in the grass and to pick one blade of grass and to be with that one blade of grass, focus on that one blade of grass until I knew the answer. And I did that. And when I went and focused on that one blade of grass, what I became aware of in an intuitive level, of course, the eyes still just see a blade of grass, right? The mind would see a boring blade of grass. It's not even a flower. But what I became aware of as I focused on that blade of grass was the potency of life. I got to know the Father. I, awareness, got to know the Father, which in a way can't be known, through the reflection of manifestation through a blade of grass. So, no one has ever seen God. This is true. But God, the one and only, right? Awareness and consciousness together as God, because all these things can be God. The God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, right next to this unknowable source, has made him known. Awareness, aware of the objects of manifestation which come through consciousness and divine law, gives us the ability to contemplate deeply enough that we become aware of the potent source of life that is the Father. Now think of that for a moment as the purpose of manifestation. Okay, let me look at Jacqueline's question. Is consciousness just focused on awareness? You know, I don't know the answer to that, Jacqueline, so I'll just say that. I don't know the answer to that question. Ask someone better than me. And by better than me, is consciousness just focused on awareness? And then she says, not focused on. I don't know now what you're saying. Do you want to take the mic, Jacqueline? I'm a little confused. If you do, just put up your hand and I'll turn the mic over to you. Okay, turning the mic over to you.
Thanks, Regina. My question is just how do we get from, you know, you say that awareness is the only creation of the Father, the only direct creation of life source Father, the first principle. That's how we get to the second principle, to awareness. My question is, how do we get from awareness to consciousness? Is it just that that focus that I've heard you talking about, how you focus your awareness? Is that how we get from the second principle to the third principle?
Okay.
That's my question. I hope it makes sense. Thanks.
Yeah, that did make sense to me, and I do understand the answer to that question. And I'm going to answer your question moving in two different directions, moving from the first principle to the fourth principle and from the fourth principle back to the first principle. So first, from the first principle to the fourth principle, the way my intuition has shown this to me, you know, even though we talk about this in like a linear fashion, because that's the way we talk, these things aren't as linear. They aren't linear in that way. You know, we think in time, and that's the only way we can think with these minds, but these things are not in time. These things are not linear. These things, for lack of better words, just are. And they are perfectly natural. In fact, one of the words that sometimes people use to describe this process, and I love it when I hear someone use this word, they use the word nature. They call it nature. It's perfectly natural for potent life to develop awareness or to create awareness. And it's perfectly natural for life and awareness together to create consciousness and divine law, a container for manifestation to happen. And it's perfectly natural for divine law to operate and create manifestation. And somehow, you know, we get this idea that somehow this wasn't supposed to have happened. like there's something went wrong somewhere in order for the world to be here. But that's, you know, that's a mistaken idea. This is all nature. This is as natural, this metaphysical nature is as natural as a seed developing into a tiny plant and then growing into a flower and then making more seeds. You know, it's just as natural as that. So since that's the way my intuition showed it to me, I merely accept it as nature. It's just nature. It's divine nature. Now, the other way that I want to answer your question is going backwards. And in fact, I think it's more important to answer the question going backwards. So the fourth principle of God is manifestation. So what I'm about to say is not wholly true. It's not true, but it's true in our experience. So I want to start with that. We are people. We are humans. Do you agree that's your experience, right? We are humans. Which means we are in the fourth principle of God. We are manifestation. So how does a human come to realize the third, the second, and the first principle of God? This is where we work backwards. And this is really beautiful, I think. It's very, very beautiful. Because life, potent life, is in the second principle, awareness. And because life and awareness are in the third principle, consciousness, and because life, awareness, consciousness are in the fourth principle, manifestation, we can actually direct our attention backwards. And this is what meditation is all about. So what happens when you're in meditation is you start focusing on what appears to be just your human awareness. Just your human awareness. And your human awareness, I am told, now I have to go with what I'm told, because remember, I am not an enlightened master, and I'm okay with that right now. But when I say I am told, I mean that I have seen this from Nisargadatta Maharaj, I have seen this from Ramana Maharshi, and I've been told this by Michael Langford, all three of whom I trust. And they're all saying the same thing, so I trust it for now, right? I trust it. So our human awareness is a pale reflection of the second principle of God, awareness. That our human awareness is like a reflection of the light of the moon, when the second principle of God, awareness, is like the sun, right? So it's a pale reflection of that divine awareness at the second principle. But we start where we're at. It also reminds me of the Wizard of Oz. Remember when she wanted to, when Dorothy wanted to return to Oz, and she asked the Good Witch of the North, "Where shall I begin?" And she said, "It's always good to begin at the beginning." And remember how Dorothy went all the way inside the spiral of the yellow brick road to the very first tiny little brick and started walking from there? Well, the way we begin at the beginning is with our human awareness, with what we know as our everyday awareness, even though it is the pale reflection of moonlight and it's not yet the sun. We start with that. And we set in meditation and we focus on our human awareness. And when we are drawn into thought, we just, you know, maybe use self-inquiry or whatever other technique we know to shift back into focusing on awareness. And you all are familiar with this awareness, watching awareness, right? What I am told, again, by masters as well as my intuition. I've received this intuition while studying the seven steps. So as well as intuition, what I have been told is that as we focus on that pure human awareness, at some point there's an opening, which is often called an awakening, where we become aware of ourself as consciousness. You could call this shifting back your identity from the fourth principle of God to the third principle of God. And many people think that the third principle of God is the awakening, right? Like, that's it, I'm awake. But actually, you can tell by looking at this, there's an additional back. You can go back to the level of the sun, which is awareness, the second principle of God. And so, even when you awaken to consciousness, you continue practicing the awareness watching awareness practice. You continue focusing on consciousness. The way Nisargadatta describes this is he tells you, the human, to focus on the I Am presence. But if you read I Am That, his book, very carefully, you'll find that he also occasionally, once or twice, will mention there is something beyond even the I Am presence, right? So you awaken to consciousness, which he's calling the I Am presence. You awaken to that, and that's a wonderful awakening from what I understand. But you continue the spiritual practice. You continue the awareness watching awareness, right? And at some point, there can be a second, I'm going to call it grander awakening. This second awakening is also referred to as the ego death. The second grander awakening, and this is when the identity shifts to the second principle of God. And this is when you see yourself, for lack of better words, I don't know how to talk about this stuff, first of all, because it's not actually my experience, but also because words fail. But you see yourself at this point as the second principle of God, which is completely inseparable from the first principle. You can't separate them. So you see yourself as the absolute. And you will hear masters that have awakened to that level speaking about that level, right? They speak about that. And when we were on retreat with Bentinho Massaro, what I loved about Bentinho is he was very, very clear that he had awakened to consciousness, but he had not yet awakened to the absolute. And I love it when people are aware of that and they're able to state that. When I interviewed Gina Lake, you know, she had awakened to consciousness, and she said only recently had she become aware that there was something beyond that, right? And I was like, oh, I'm so happy that you said that in my presence. You know, I think Lynn used some words, and Lynn, now if I'm really misquoting you out of my ignorance, feel free to correct me. I don't mind at all, because I'm taking what I know from my inner contemplation and now using your language. But Lynn talked about one day when we were at the Awakening Together retreat, sitting around at a meal, she talked about, what were the words you used? Oh, Christ realized and God realized. So in my mind, I thought Christ realized is awakening to the third principle of God. God realized is awakening to the second principle of God. That's my answer to your question, Jacqueline. How is that? How is that? Did that answer your question? Okay, great. All right, super. All right, so, you know, and one thing that I like to do, anybody who knows me knows this, is I like to be very, very, very honest. I don't see at all, I don't see at all how it's helpful to pretend to myself, to fool myself, that I am at some level of awakening that I'm not. I don't see any value in that. And you know what? I think that when people do that, because people do that, and usually you can sense when, you know, you can sense when they're just fooling themselves. And I think the reason that people do that is because of the I am bad belief. I think that that buried I am bad belief tells us that we're guilty for not being awake. It tells us that we're not good enough because we're not awake. It whispers this lie to us. And again, because we really cannot bear the idea of being as bad as the I am bad belief is trying to make us out to be, we do anything we can to avoid hearing that voice, to avoid feeling those feelings, to avoid looking in that direction, including, in some cases, lying to ourselves about our own level of awakening. So I just don't like to play that game at all. And, you know, I'll tell you what else I do. For me, and maybe this is true for everyone, I don't know because I can't feel you. I can only feel me. For me, my head and my heart feel completely different. And so I know when I am listening to and speaking from my heart. And I know when I'm listening to and speaking from my head. You know, they feel different. And my heart asks me to be patient, to be focused on purpose, to be willing to see my mistakes and correct them, and again, to be patient. My heart doesn't ask me to run ahead and join into some awakening game, which I know is very popular nowadays. Even if I appear to be, here I am, the president minister of Awakening Together, and everybody else in Awakening Together is declaring awakening, and I'm the only one back here saying, not me, I'm still working on that stuff. My heart says, stay back here. Be willing to be the only one that stays behind. And you know what else my heart says? My heart says, and you guys have heard this before, that this slow way is the fast way. To run ahead and fool ourselves is just a delay. To stay back with self-honesty. To stay back with self-honesty. I'm still looking here. I'm still working here. I still, every day, need to get better at listening to my intuition. I still, you know, to stay back with self-honesty is actually the fast way. At the same time, I am being extremely honest when I say that my mind is extremely purified compared to the mind I started with in 2004 when I began this process. My mind does not think grievance thoughts. It doesn't even think grievance thoughts. I can't remember the last time I had a grievance. My mind occasionally, and not even daily, occasionally arises with a judgment thought, but there's no interest in it, or if there is, it's very short-lived, and then it dies away. The I am bad belief is completely dead. You know, beliefs such as the belief in rejection, belief in betrayal, and I don't know what else, these things are completely dead for me. And the mind has changed so much that I don't even remember what it's like to think all day, every day with a wrong mind until occasionally, you know, I'm in a conversation with someone, you know, and they're expressing their feelings and something in me goes, oh my God, I forgot what it's like to have a mind like that. I don't judge because my mind doesn't judge. I don't judge it. In fact, I hear with compassion what the person is saying, and if they're asking for some type of assistance, you know, if they're asking me to help point them in a different direction, I can do that quite clearly. But I actually forget what it's like to think with the wrong mind all the time. And this is truth. This is not anything but truth. This is not faking it. And yet, this purified mind, or much more purified, purification is still occurring. But this much more purified mind is still not awakening. In fact, if you study the Bhagavad Gita and probably other Hindu works as well, the Bhagavad Gita talks about three states of mind, all of which are not awakening. Let's see if I can remember them. Tamas, right? What's the second one? It starts with an R. Does anybody remember? I just remember the R. And then Sattvic. Does anybody remember the R? Oh, Raja, right? So tamas, I'll call that the lowest state of mind. Raja, higher, but you know, I don't even know if it's really higher, but still I'll call it higher. I don't know if it is. We'll talk about that in a second. And then sattvic, which is the highest state of mind. Tamas is the state of mind. You know, like if Dr. David Hawkins was here, he'd probably say it was the lowest vibration. You know, tamas is the state of mind where there may be a lot of laziness, inability to commit to anything or anyone, very, very willing to be deceptive to get what I want, much more concerned about me than you, very possibly having, you know, drug, alcohol problems, you know, our prisons are filled with people at this state of mind, right? Tamas. Now the Raja state of mind, which, you know, I don't know, to call it higher may not be fair. It's just different. It's more approved of in the world. The Raja state of mind is the state of mind where, you know, now I am a professional. I have a job. I'm, you know, raising my children. I'm driving my children to all their lessons so they can be successful. And, you know, I want to gain more and more and more from the world. And, you know, and I'm perceived as successful in the world. This is what the world holds up as a trophy person, right? Trophy person. You know, where Tomas is not a trophy person in the world. You know, if you're in the world looking from the world's point of view, you want the Tomas person to become the Rajasic person, right? It's perceived as better. But the truth is they're both ego, completely ego. So that's why I said I don't know if it really is better. The world perceives it as better. Let's leave it at that. Sattvic. Sattvic is where what I'm going to call holiness starts to come in. Sattvic is where a person begins to let go of the ego. This is their focus in life. And their mind is becoming more and more purified. And a purified mind in the world can appear as a saintly, holy person, a very saintly, very holy person. And they are genuine. They are genuinely giving. They are genuinely detached. They are genuinely peaceful. There is genuine clarity that comes through them. All of this is genuine. It's really a beautiful thing. But it is not awake. It is not yet even awake to level 3 consciousness. It is simply a purified mind. And, you know, some people say, well, why bother if it's not awake? You know, why bother purifying to the sattvic state of mind? Well, the two answers that I've received about that, one is the sattvic peaceful state of mind, allowing state of mind, is much more prepared to accept the invitation of grace to awaken when it comes, where the tamasic mind and the rajasic mind are much more likely to pull back. So one reason is you're just preparing the ground. You've heard teachers say this. You're preparing the ground so when the invitation of grace comes, you can accept the invitation. So the sattvic mind is the fertile ground, yes. The other reason to purify yourself to the sattvic state of mind is because you're going to be happier. I mean, you know, don't we all want to be happy? You're going to be happier. You're going to be more peaceful. You're going to be joyful. You're going to be clear. You're going to know your guidance. You're going to know what to do. You're not going to be confused on matters that other people are confused on. You know, it's really just a happier way to be. So, if I was to place myself somewhere, I would say I am in that sattvic, still improving to, for lack of better words, to a higher sattvic state, but I am in that sattvic state. I was probably born into this world in a rajasic state. I don't know that I was, you know, everybody has some tamasic habits, but I don't know that the tamasic state was ever my state. I was, you know, born into a rajasic state. I was born into a rajasic family, right? My brother, rajasic. My mother, rajasic. My father, rajasic. I was born into that kind of a state. Don't even know if I'm saying it right, but y'all get my point. And then I've gone through the practices of A Course in Miracles and NTI to move from rajasic into the sattvic state. And that's where I am at. But I am not awakened, right? That to me is honesty. And I love that. And I don't know how we got on this topic. I guess all this came from Jacqueline's question. But what that means is my task now, and I know my task. It's only my job to know my task. Yeah, I notice Ken or Rebecca have put in the three gunas. Sattva is goodness, constructive, and harmonious. Rajas is passion, active, and confused. And tamas is darkness, destructive, and chaotic. Yeah, Ken did that. Thank you, Ken. So I know my task. I know where I am to some degree, and I know my task. My task is to continue with the being aware of myself enough so that the purification continues instead of going back into ego. Ego would love for me to move from sattvic back to rajasic, since that is my tendency in this lifetime. It would love for me to become ambitious about being a great teacher, ambitious about let's make Awakening Together the biggest organization in the world, ambitious about how many followers. It would love for me to go back to that rajasic state. So my job is A, to stay with the heart, with the sattvic state, and to continue in any of the practices that I used in the past, like watching the mind and letting go of ego, to, you know, to letting go of my preferences, all that kind of stuff, to continue with that to whatever degree I need to. It's a much easier work than it was at one time because there's less there to have to work with, but to continue with that while really being focused on the awareness, watching awareness. That's really where I'm to be now. And for me now, that is focusing on the human awareness, right? Because I have not yet awakened to consciousness. So that's my job. And it's wonderful to know to some degree where you are. You know, you might look at this and say, oh my God, I mean, I don't know if any of you are, but you might look at this and say, oh my God, I'm tamasic. I'm a horrible person. No. That's not the point. That's not the point. First of all, like I said, I don't think tamasic and rajasic, the world may think rajasic is better than tamasic. I don't think it is. I think they're just both equally ego. Call it two flavors of ego. So if you're tamasic, in my humble opinion, you are not below rajasic, and you do not need to attempt to become rajasic. Whether you are primarily tamasic or primarily rajasic, what you want to do is continue to purify the sattvic. And you know what? It's wonderful, 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 in my humble opinion, to say, you know what? As she was describing this, I could see I'm tamasic. Or as she was describing this, I could see I'm rajasic. Then you know where you are, and now you know what your job is. Your job is to let go of ego. Your job is to purify. And if you can, go ahead and practice the awareness, watching awareness too. I couldn't. When I was heavily rajasic, I couldn't. I wouldn't even have known what those words meant. So it wasn't possible for me at that time to do that. I had to go through the purification first. But the whole idea that you're bad because you're tamasic or rajasic or sattvic and not yet awake, that's just ego crap. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to be able to correctly diagnose yourself and correctly know your prescription and to correctly follow your prescription. We call that spiritual practice. That's a beautiful thing. And in fact, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita said there is no better purpose in life than that. No better purpose in life, in a human life, than that. To know where you are, what you need to do, and do it. And when we say what you need to do, we're not talking about, you know, picking a career or anything. We're talking about in order to purify, in order to become more sattvic, right? It's beautiful. It's great. It's wonderful. So don't let your mind tell you you're not good enough because you're primarily, your habits are tamasic, your habits are rajasic, or because you're not awake yet, and try to get you into pretending that you're in a place that you're not. Because all of that pretending that you're in a place that you're not is just keeping you from doing the work that is most helpful for you to be doing right now, right? It's just another form of denial, spiritual denial. So we haven't gone very far in the Bible today, have we? If we keep this up, guys, we're going to be here for 20 years. But all of this was in response to Jacqueline's question. You know, I like knowing where I'm at. I like being honest. And I like being as committed as possible to the tasks that I am to be committed to right now, meaning the spiritual awakening tasks. And because the I am bad belief is bad, I do not feel guilty for being where I'm at. Right? I do not feel guilty. And if you do feel guilty for being where you're at, it's just the I am bad belief. Work on letting go of that. Start there. You know, start there. Remember, you got to start at the beginning. The Wizard of Oz. Jacqueline says, oops. Well, you know, I don't think there's time to go beyond verse 17 at this point. Actually we did two verses today, 17 and 18. Glory, hallelujah. We made it through two whole verses. So let me read to you verses 17 and 18 that we read today. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So, briefly then, just to re-inspire us, maybe leave us on an inspired note, briefly. Awareness as consciousness, able to be aware of consciousness, a subject aware of an object, has the ability to contemplate potent life and come to know the Father. That's the purpose of manifestation. The purpose of manifestation is to come to know the Father through the contemplation of our self in manifestation. Through being together, we learn what being is. Through allowing each other, we learn what allowing is. Through loving all, we learn what love is. Right? That's why we're here. Oh my God, how exciting is that? But it's that dang ego, those wrong-minded thoughts, that get in the way of us understanding the beauty of this experience. And that's what purification is all about. So what I'm going to do now is play another song, both just to kind of wind us down from the guiding light and also to allow me to get set up for prayer circle, because that's next. And anyone who is available and feels called to do so, please hang out with me for a prayer circle, another 1.5 hour starting in 2 minutes. So let's see if we can find another fun song. The very next song in my playlist is Susan Boyle, who also has a beautiful voice. So let's listen to Susan Boyle. This is called Away in a Manger.
Look down from the sky.
to